أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So just an overview of Surah An-Nisa. Remember, this is Madani Quran. And in Madani Quran, you have legal, legislative issues. But this one is sort of intertwined with hypocrisy. So you have battle behavior in the battlefield, and then you've got social behavior. And like I mentioned, the focus of Surah An-Nisa is on the social ethics in an Islamic society. And you will see it peppered in between the battle things as well. So it is a consolidation. It's like putting together this new Muslim community. But the main part of any community is the stability of the family. If the stability of the family is not there, everything else goes nuts. And what makes it nuts is the characteristic of hypocrisy. So we'll find 60 ayat. I don't think we will get there to section 6, but I'm hoping to finish 4 and 5 today, because you've got a global Hussein day, and I'm hoping that you will be able to join at 3 o'clock. Now, just a couple of things that, just a reminder, I think some of the things that we picked up. So if we look at section 1, it was on family law and guardianship of the orphan. So you had ayat 1 to 35. And you saw that the eye of polygamy, which is, I think, ayat 3, was basically care of orphans. You found that if there was any behavior that was not good, you needed 4 witnesses. You saw the eye of mutah and what that was about. 434, we looked at how men had financial responsibility, and you saw the 3 stages. They had to go through a long stage of counseling, there had to be separate beds, and then there was a metaphorical varaba, which is hit them with something. When they say hit them, it wasn't physical hitting. It was actually to be able to shock them with something, to say, what are you trying to do? Break a family, so on and so forth. And if that wasn't going to work, then obviously we came to divorce. And as Sabira mentioned, there's a lot of things on there. There was mahram, relationships, inheritance, repentance. You've got all that in your building. Section 2 we looked at was this universal instructions kept on coming up to maintain social justice. And we saw how arrogance, belittling others, being stingy, hiding wealth, sort of started off this basis of hypocrisy and the reason for breaking down of social justice. We also saw the eye of tayammum in ayah 43. Now in section 3, we saw the historical example of distortion of words. You know, it's samitna wa atayna. And then it gave the example of Ashabu Sab, but they said Samitna wa Asaina, right? Ati'na Asaina, just change the world a little bit. Now we're in section 4, and we've been looking at, this is the order to obey Allah and His Messenger, without question as such. Ittiba, remember, although I said, was to put our footprints into the footprints of someone walking on the sand, it is also taking somebody's word without question. When I go to a doctor that I trust, I don't say, what's in this pill? Can you give me the ingredients? Why do you want to cut me open? I just don't ask. I may take a second opinion sometimes, but in this case, we're saying Allah and the Messenger don't have a second opinion. There is no questions asked. And we saw how in that irrigation thing, how they wouldn't follow. I'd like to just mention 3 words that I mentioned, and I hope you've got them in your head. One was Rafika, because you know Rafiki very well. And I told you Mirfaq was a cushion that you leaned on. And a Rafiki is somebody that you lean on without having to worry about whether you're sitting properly or not, or you're chilling. And it's an amazing factor to be a Rafiki. And then we talked about Fatila. Do you remember Fatila? Fatila was the fiber in the date seed. And then Naqira was that dent in the date seed. So just these 2 words, they may come up again, but just so that we remember them when we've got them. So that's section 4. And if we come to section 5, we'll talk about it. And if I'm not mistaken, we stopped at ayah 75, where we looked at, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتَلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That was the last one we did. What reason do you have that you do not fight in the way of Allah? In other words, you don't stand up for those who are مُسْتَضْعِفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ. مُسْتَضْعِفِينَ, those who are who are challenged, who are physically challenged or mentally challenged. Rijal, from the men, the women and the children. Alladhina yakuluna, and they keep on praying, Rabbana akhrijna min hadhihi al-qaryata. Take us out of this town of dhalim, those who are unjust, ahluha, their people are unjust. Waj'allana min ladunka waliyan, waj'allana min ladunka nasira, whose people are oppressors, and give us from your guardian and from your helper. Now, historically, this is talking about the people who were left in Makkah. They couldn't leave. So, you know, their dua is, can somebody come and relieve us of this? Because we're living amongst those who hate Muslims, but we don't want to be here. There were Muslims stuck in Makkah, and this was their dua. And you can see that the conquest of Makkah is actually a reply to the dua of 75 in Surah An-Nisa. I said I write Hussein here because that's exactly what he did, to be able to stand for the truth, to free those who are tied down. Now let's look at Ayah 76. Alladhina amanu yukatiluna fi sabilillah. Those who believe will always fight in the way of Allah. Now, remember, qatil, it's just not only fighting this way. It could be fighting with your pen, it could be fighting with your mouth, it could be fighting with all sorts of things. Walladhina kafru, those who cover up the truth, yukatiluna fi sabili taghut. They fight for taghut. Taghut is somebody who's rebellious. Any entity, absolutely anything that cause you to disobey Allah, that cause you to do injustice to human being, is called taghut. So they do injustice. Fakatilu awliya shaitan, and their fight therefore is against the friends of shaitan, right? So fakatilu awliya shaitan, they're towards the friends of shaitan. Inna kayda shaitan kana dha'ifa, and the plotting and the plans of shaitan is very weak. And all I write here is Hussein versus Yazid. You just have to look at history. And then it tells you, you know, what that side was fighting for and what this side is fighting for. Right, Ayah 77. And I know this is tedious, but this surah needs to be looked at. Alam tarayla alladhina, have you not seen those? Qila lahum, to whom it was said, Kaffu o kuffu aydiyakum, hold your hands, withhold your hands. Kuffu, kaffa, is like, you know, tie your hands. Don't do anything with your hands. I'm going to explain in a minute. Then they were told, wa aqimu salah, establish salah, wa atu zakah, and then give zakah. So who are they told? They're told, don't fight back. These are the people of Makkah. When the Muhajirin were in Makkah, even when they were attacked, they were told, don't fight back. You cannot fight back. You can hold your hands up and you can protect yourself, but that's about it. You cannot fight, even if your families are being attacked. Now, you've seen history, how the companions were attacked, whether it was Bilal, or whether it was Sumayya, or whether it was Ammar's fathers, Yasir and Sumayya. You saw them. There was no fighting back. They listened. And I'll tell you why. Let me go back. So, if you imagine a people, when someone constantly attacks non-violent people in a community, forget about a nation right now, when somebody constantly is attacking somebody who's innocent, there will always be people who will wake up and say, but they haven't done anything wrong. Why are you attacking them? What's wrong with you? But if they fight back, they will say, but we have a right to kill them. The idea in Makkah was they were a small group and you had the powerful people there. If they were to stand up and fight, they'd be killed. Maybe I can give you an example of Tiananmen Square. To me, that comes to mind. You had this guy standing in front of a tank. If he had shot at the tank, he would have been killed and you and I would never have heard of him. But he just stood in front of that tank and that was a peaceful protest. In India, you had Gandhi. There was non-violent protest against those who had taken over his country. That is us, by the way. Okay? So they stood up with in fact, his words were that if he had the companions of Hussein, the 72 companions, you know, he would have got far more. You can read all that later. But basically what this is trying to tell them, that they were told, your job is not to fight. Your job is to aqimis salah wa atu zakah. Now it says, فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْكِتَالِ. Now they are told to fight. This is Medina now, right? So there they wanted to fight. Here now when they're told to fight, إذا فريقكم منهم يخشون الناس. Some of them, a group of them say, I mean, they fear human beings. خشيت الله, as though they fear Allah. So now when you say, before they said, please let us fight, please let us fight. No, you're not allowed. Now you're supposed to go and defend. No, they're scared. وَأَشَدُّ خَشْيَةً. In fact, it's more than they fear Allah, even with a greater fear. وَقَالُوا, when they say, رَبَّنَا لِمَا كَتَبْتَ عَلَيْنَا الْكِتَالِ, why are you telling us to fight? لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنَا إِلَىٰ أَجْلٍ كَرِيبٍ. You know, give us a little bit of space. قُلْ مَتَاعُ, and Allah is saying, tell them, مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ, the world, the life of the world, the pleasure of the world is short. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. The Akhirah is far better. وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. Again, fatil. You remember that? Allah will not do injustice, even the bit of a fatil. So, these, a group of them are the same people who in Makkah were begging to fight, but now here they don't. Now maybe we can relate it to ourselves when we say, in every ziyarah, we say, بِيَبِي وَعَنْتُمْ. Bi abi antum wa ummi, right? We say we, my father, my mother, me. We were in Karbala, my God, we would be there. But question, do we even stand up for anything? Very often, even if there's a dispute in the community, we say, we don't want to get involved. Forget about fighting. We're not even asked to give our lives. So it's 77 is quite a question to ask oneself. And then 78, immediately, because he's told you that death is going to come. He says the life of the world is short. Now he says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتُ. Wherever you go, death will find you. Now, يُدْرِكُ is like step by step. دَرَكَ is to come down some steps. So if you were coming from your top floor to your bottom floor, دَرَكَ, you're coming down, right? So أَدْرَكَ is stage by stage when something is coming to get you. So literally, death is like, we're up here and we're slowly stepping down to the cover. It's there. We're coming down, okay? So, إِنَّمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Mouth is coming. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَ. Even if you are in these tall buildings that are not penetrable. You know, Burj Khalifa, you hear in Dubai, yeah? So Burj is something that when you raise your hand, head to look at the top, your hat falls off. That's basically what Burj is. So Buruj, even if you live on the top floor and it's, you know, you got security 100%, nobody can enter your house without buzzing you or whatever, I'm afraid Malikul Maut doesn't have this issue, right? He sort of sneaks in somehow. No, how, but he does. Wa in tusibhum hasanatun. Now what they say is, first of all, they think death will not touch them. But why in tasibhum hasanatun? And if something good comes to them, yaqulu, they say, hadhihi min indillah. This is from Allah to us. So whatever they have that is good, they say, look, divinity really loves us. Wa in tusibhum sayyatan, but if something bad comes to them, they tell the Prophet, yaqulu hadhihi min indik. This is because you are amongst us. You're bad luck. You're the one who's bringing us all this trouble. Qul, tell them, kullu min indillah, everything is from Allah. It's nothing to do with you. فَمَا لِهَوْلَا الْقَوْمِ. And he says, but what is the matter with these people? لَا يَقَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا. What is wrong with them? They don't seem to understand. They just don't understand. Now we may laugh at these people. We're not very far away. Okay? We're not too far away at all. مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَلَةٍ. Now he explains. He says, what comes to you from goodness? From in Allah. It is from Allah. It is telling you and me as human beings. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ. Remember, this is not a trial. سَيِّئَةٍ is evil. What evil touches you. سَيِّئَةٍ comes from sour. Sour is like a rotting corpse. What comes from you from evil? From in نَفْسِكَ. So when I think evil, it comes from within myself. See the best in everything, he says. So I will bring Sayyida Zainab here. Regardless of what she saw around her, she says, مَا رَعَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. Right? So she sees the best out of it. وَأَرْسَلْنَا لَكَ لِلنَّاسِ رَسُولًا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِدًا. It hasn't come from you. We have sent you as a prophet, a messenger to humankind, and Allah is sufficient as a witness. In other words, this is like a... this is a sarcastic comment in such. He's saying, you know what? It's got nothing to do with the Prophet. He didn't do that. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولِ Whoever obeys the Prophet, even minimum, فَكَدْ أَتَاعَ اللَّهِ, he has obeyed Allah. So the basic statement telling them that, you know what, this is my Prophet. You know, don't mess with him. What he tells you, you do. And it's as though you've obeyed me. Don't say, why doesn't Allah, where is Allah hasn't talked to us, but he's talking to you through the Prophet. وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى, if you turn away, فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيذًا, you are not responsible for their behavior. You are not a wakil over them. You are not a hafiz. You are not a keeper over them. So basically, you can take somebody to the water to drink, but you can't make them do it. So now look at what they say. This is hypocrisy. It sort of seeps in a little bit everywhere. وَيَكُولُونَ, they say to the Prophet, تَعَتُونَ, we obey you. Obedience, obedience. So they come to him and they say, we really obey you. فَإِذَا بَرَذُوا مِنْ عِنْدِكَ, but when they go out of your presence, baraza is when you come out, you're outside, you're you now, you're bringing yourself out, right? Face to face, meaning lika bayitan, they come out, taifata minum, a group of them, ghayra alladhi takul, so a group of together, get together, and then they say, wallahu yaktabu ma yubayitun. They get together and they have these secret night meetings. And Allah is saying, I take the minutes of what you do plotting. فَأَعْرِضْ أَنْهُمْ, just leave them alone. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, trust in Allah. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, and Allah is sufficient as a protector. Now I don't know whether we've talked about this before, maybe not with this group, but we've talked about secret meetings, najwa. And you find in Najwa that you have a main meeting where you're allowed to speak. Everybody has the opportunity to speak. Every Jamaat meeting or workshop meeting or Madrasa meeting, I'll talk about workshops, I know that better. When teachers get together, everybody has the opportunity to voice themselves. And you find that even if you went through each teacher and said, have you got anything to say? They will say, no, we're all okay. Some will say something. Most will say they're okay. But then as soon as they go in the car park, they have these tiny little barazas. You know, even in Swahili, it's baraza. You sit on the baraza and you chit-chat. And then you go back to someone and say, but this is what, that is what this is talking about. Allah is saying, Allah is taking the minutes of your baraza. Why didn't you speak in the main meeting? Why did you go and have these little meetings and go out there and speak? Because this is what these people do. This is what causes problems. And then he says, listen, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ, why don't they ponder over the Qur'an? Tadabbur comes from dubur. Dubur is back, right? So tadabbur means have a 360 look at the Qur'an. I mean, look all the way around, back, front, side, everywhere. Why don't they ponder over the Qur'an? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ إِنْدِ غَيْرِ, if it was from somebody else, لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اقْتَلَافًا كَثِيرًا, you would find many discrepancies. By extension, it's saying that if you found a discrepancy in the meeting, you should have pointed it out then. Say it out so it can be sorted. Right? It's all connected. Now, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ, when there comes to them any news at all, مِنَ الْأَمْنِ, whether it is of good news, of security, أَوْ الْخَوْفِ, or something that you're scared about, أَذَاعُوا بِهِ, you know what they do? They go out of their way to say the information. Kila wakal, they just pass on the information they've heard. They have to say something. They have to call somebody and tell them everything. And then, walau raddu, if they had gone back or reverted ila rasul, to the messenger, wa ila ulil amr, or to those who are in authority, minhum, la'alimahu alladhina yastanbitunahu minhum, they would have known the actual fact of the information they are putting out. So nabata, or nabat al-ma, for example, is when you dig deep for water. So in other words, if you had got some information and you referred it to those in authority and the Prophet, then they would have found out the truth of the matter. Because then you don't just give information willy-nilly, just like that. In other words, these people go out of their way. They spread gossip. It's one of the weapons of the hypocrite. Just say what comes to your head. They don't investigate. They don't get back to the Prophet on those in authority. So he says, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, were it not for the grace of Allah upon you, the Father of His, وَرَحْمَتُهُ, and His mercy, my goodness, لَتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا كَلِيلًا, you would have found most of them would have followed Shaitan except a few. So this gives an example. So there was two examples of those of hypocrisy. One, they have these small breakout meetings. Zoom has breakout places, you know that? So anyway, so they have a breakout class. Number two, whatever they hear, they transmit. They don't verify. They don't do anything about it. They just say it as it is. And it causes so many problems. So many problems. Right, 84. So what does Allah say? What do you do with them? فَقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Just fight them in Allah's way, and I'll talk about it in a minute. La tukallifu illa nafsa. This is in you. It is not imposed on you, except in relation to yourself. In other words, O Prophet, we are telling you, this is what you have to do. You have to fight this behavior. You can't allow it to exist. It tells us as well. What else does it tell us? Wa harridhil mu'mineen. Harridh is to motivate. So motivate the mu'mineen also not to accept this behavior. So if I were you to see, were to see a breakout meeting, or if I were you to see, were you to hear something that doesn't make sense, you know, the Jamaat is doing this or this one is doing that, find out, no, what is the truth of the matter before you do anything. So he says, motivate mu'mineen not to engage in this. And then he says, Asallahu an yakuffa ba'sa alladhina kafaru. And what will happen with this behavior, if it's eradicated, Allah will stop those who cover up the truth to restrain fighting with you. Because they won't have anything to fight about. You're not releasing information. You're not gossiping. Wallahu ashaddu ba'san wa ashaddu tankila. Allah is really strong in power. And He is really strong in deterring others, right? Nakal is to deter others. See, when the Meccans won the Battle of Uhud, Abu Sufyan said that he would encounter the Muslims at Badri Sukra. Badri Sukra is a market that used to be held in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah at a place called Badr. So the Prophet now invites these people and says, come, you know, before he goes nuts, let's go and go there. So 70 people came. There was no conflict and they came back. In other words, what this historical thing is saying, that the Prophet should move in front of others when there's a danger. And the Muslims should not pay attention to their own thinking. This is follow the one who's in authority. And then now we've got a section on another bit, which is maybe social interaction. Now he says, "Man yashfa' shafa'atan hasanatan." Whoever puts in a good word, a recommendation, yakul lahu nasibu minha, he will have a share of it. So, if you gave somebody advice, reconciled, taught them, you put in a good word for them, whether it was in school or work or whatever, you will have a share of that. وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً. But if you put in a good word, or you put a recommendation for an evil cause, يَقُلْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِّنْهَا. Kifl is twice as much. A, you recommended somebody was bad. And then if that bad person did something even worse, you get it. So if I'm going to say this, and I don't like saying this, but if you voted Trump in again, you got bad news, mate. Okay? So when you vote in people who are going to do wrong, not only do you get the punishment for your vote, but you also get the punishment for what he will do. Okay, this is how I see it, but you could use different things. I just call this the Trump one, so I remember it. Okay, you can call it something else. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. Oh my goodness. And Allah is Muqit. Now, one of the names of Allah is Muqit, right? Muqit comes from Aqata. Aqata means somebody who has power. Somebody who has, when I say power, who has control. Somebody who protects, so power protects, and somebody who you are accountable to. It's a really good word, ya muqit. When you feel that you're not in control, when you feel you don't have any power of something, you know, you don't have any control over something, you feel you're not protected, you feel vulnerable, and you feel, I don't know what to do. Read ya muqit so many times, it's phenomenal. absolutely phenomenal. Oh, and then the word that we all know. وَإِذَا حَيَّيْتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ. When you are greeted with a greeting. Hay, you know, حَيَّيْتُمْ comes from hay, life. You can only say salam when you're alive. And here it doesn't say when somebody does salam to you. It says when somebody greets you. If they say, hi, watch it, how's you, dude? It's okay. It doesn't matter. They don't have to say salam to you. They don't know how to do it. So he says, whenever somebody greets you. So these days, I think you, maybe you and I, we all go for walks, right? And when you go for walks, somehow, because everybody's in lockdown, even in the gardens, they all talk to you. I don't know why they talk to you, but they still do. They never used to. The English are a very reserved people. But now they talk to you. So when they talk to you, then فَحَيَّوْ بِأَحْسَنِ مِنْهَا. Give them better than. Or awrudduha, or the same. So some say morning. I mean, smile and say morning, no? Or smile and say good morning, how are you? Have a little chat. It's okay. That's what this ayah is saying. I know it's basic common sense. It's not restricted to sawab. And you know, the initiator gets more sawab. There was once a maid of Imam Hassan. She comes to Imam Hassan and she says, salamun alaykum, and she gives him a bunch of flowers. He frees her. And she says, how so? I like being here. And he read this ayah, ayah 86 of Surah An-Nisa. He said, I have to do better than what you did. She gave him a flower. Okay? She gave him flowers. Okay. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin hasiba. Allah takes account of everything you do. Here he's not even talking about your accounts. He's talking about just about somebody saying hi. You know, it's awesome when somebody smiles at you. Whether it is in the supermarket or when somebody's not grumpy, even on the phone. Isn't it amazing? It's really, really amazing. Tell me, why do we want to be grumpy? Anyway, okay. I-87. Allahu la ilaha illahu. There is no God but He. La yajma'annakum ila yawm al-qiyamah. He will gather you all together, all of us, on the day of Qiyamah. La rayba fi, there is no doubt in it. I love this one. Wa man asdaqa min Allahi haditha. And who is more truer in word than Allah? In other words, this is the certainty of accountability and a guarantee that even something as small as salam, He will take it into account. Just the way you greet someone, just the way you smile, is just awesome. Now, back to our hypocrites. فَمَا لَكُمْ. What's wrong with you, he says. فِي الْمُنَافِقِينَ. What's wrong with these, the ones who are hypocrites? فَأَتَيْنَا وَاللَّهُ أَرْكَسَهُمْ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. You became two parties about the hypocrites. Now, who are the hypocrites? First of all, there were some people in Makkah who refused to move to Medina. So I'll put it this way. There were two groups. Some couldn't leave and some wouldn't leave. Couldn't, we heard. Those who were physically or mentally challenged, the women and the children. But some just didn't want to leave because they were hypocrites, right? They said they were Muslims, but they didn't. So Allah says, you become two groups about these hypocrites. See, the Madani people, when they were having their barazas, not those barazas, when they sat down to talk chai after a majlis, they talked about these people in Makkah because they were their relations and everybody speculated. So Allah is getting rid of that speculation. He says, أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَهَدُوا مَنْ أَذَلَّ اللَّهِ. He says, do you wish to guide those people who made an error? They actually erred. They should have come. So divinity is sort of commenting about them. وَمَنْ يُذْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا. They made a mistake. In other words, that was a big mistake. They ran away from the path, or they moved away from the path, and you can't find a way back for them. They actually refuse to move. So, arkasa, which you find in arkasahum, is to hang something upside down. So they actually took their belief and they twisted it over. Now, why did they do that? Waddu law takfuruna kama kafaru. They wanted you to be like them. They wanted you to stay like them. فَتَكُونُوا سَوَى. They wanted you to be just like them. Right? فَلَا تَتَّخَذُوا مِنْهُمْ أَوْلِيَا. Don't take them as those who you lean towards. حَتَّى يُهَاجِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Unless they do hijrah in the way of Allah. Because they will convince you that you should go towards them. Because they will say, this was our hometown. You know, this is where we are born. This is where we are. Look, this is our families are here. You've lived here all your life. Why do you want to go now? فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا. But if they turn back, Now look what happens. فَخُذُوهُمْ وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ. Because you know what? If they don't do hijrah and they're staying there, then they are real betrayers. Because remember, this is a state of war. They are betrayers. You cannot allow them to be around you. Just get rid of them. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُ مِنْهُمْ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. Because don't take amongst them a friend or a helper. They had the opportunity to come with you. They didn't. They didn't because they were siding with the enemy. Basically, this is war. And it's telling you in war, when somebody sides with the enemy, for God's sakes, get them out. Get rid of them. Okay? They're not part of you. So if ISIS just now would tell you, I'm a Muslim and you are a Muslim, come towards me, what are you going to do? You know, come, we want to meet your community. You're not going to do that. You're going to call the police, right? That's what you're going to, that's what this country allows you to do. That's basically what it's trying to tell you. Okay. But then there's an exception, always an exception. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ, except those. So we're talking about people who didn't come to Medina. Now look at the exception. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَسِلُونَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ. They found a people between Makkah and Medina. So what they did was they did leave Makkah. They didn't want to stay in Makkah. But they left Makkah. They didn't want to go to Medina, because a new town, they didn't know. But they stayed with one of the tribes who had made a peace treaty with the Prophet, with the Muslims. I know this is history, but you got to understand, it covers every aspect of life. So it's saying that these people left Makkah and then made a stayed with a tribe that had a treaty with the Muslims. So that's one exception. The second exception is أَوْ جَاءُوكُمْ, if they came to you, حَسَرَتْ صُدُورُهُمْ, they're just so pressurized. حَسَرَتْ is like they're exhausted in their hearts. You know, and they say, "Are you katalukum or you katalu?" They're telling you, "No, I don't fight you or them. I don't know what's right or wrong." They're genuinely exhausted mentally. They don't know what to do. So Allah is saying to them, when He comes to talk to them, He says, "I don't want to know them." وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَسَلَّطَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ فَلَكَاتَلُوكُمْ. Their hearts can't fight you, and they can't fight their people as well. فَإِنِ اتَّزَلُوكُمْ. So you know, it doesn't stay away. Just stay away from them. فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ. Don't kill them. Don't fight them. وَأَلْقَوْا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمَ. And if they offer you salama, if they offer you peace, فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Then Allah doesn't tell you to be against them. So the two exceptions were people who went to another tribe, who had a treaty with the Muslims, and those who were just didn't know. They were so thoroughly confused and exhausted. They didn't want to fight anyone. They didn't want this enemy or that enemy. You find in Karbala, the reporters, you hear about Hamid ibn Muslim, don't you? A lot in the narrations. He was neither here nor there. He was middle, right? So he didn't want to fight one side. He didn't want to join the other side either. So these are middle people. This is what this ayah is talking about. They're offering you peace. They don't want to fight anyone. They don't want to be here. They don't want to be there. Okay? So just leave them. Nobody, don't fight with them. Just leave them. Move away from them. Okay? Okay, now another group. Again, this is history, but it's really important. So this is the last ayah of section 4. سَتَجِدُونَ أَخْرِينَ. You will find others. يُرِدُونَ أَن يَأْمَنُوكُمْ وَيَأْمَنُوا قَوْمَهُمْ. Now these are people who want to be safe from you and they want to be safe from their people. These are not like those other people. These are people who want their cake and they want to eat it. These are those. Okay? So what do they do? كُلُّ مَارَدُّوا إِلَى الْفِتْنَةَ. So they are really mischief mongers. أَرْكِسُوا فِيهَا. And they just get into the whole spring of things, right? They get thrown into it, into this mischief. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَعْتَزِلُوكُمْ وَيُلْقُوا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمَ وَيَكُفُّوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ فَخُذُوهُمْ وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ. You know, even if they offer you peace, and they, you know, they don't withdraw from you, they offer you peace, restrain their hands. No, 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 no. They are, in fact, in Gujarati, we say, ek pag dugdva che, ek pag daima che. They are on both sides. They want benefit from both sides. They're opportunists. They, you know, they will turn back on their words. وَأُولَٰئِكُمْ جَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا. And And you, we are giving you, in other words, a clear authority over them. You can see them. They will benefit the other side, and they don't know where. This is not like those exhausted people, huh? These are taking advantage of both sides. It's really, I wish I could elaborate more on it, but in real life, this is what happens to human beings. Gives every example there. Okay, so that was our section 4. And if we looked at section 4, it's literally about obedience to Allah and His Messenger without question. And it's telling the Prophet in absolute detail what sort of human beings exist. You know, there is a, I'm just going to go back a little bit. When you do not have these qualities in you, it needs to be spelt out to you. So let me give you an example. If you tell a child, a 4-year-old child or a 3-year-old child, that somebody is devious, they won't know. They really won't know. My 3-year-old granddaughter goes to nursery school and she learns a word of the day. Her word of the day last week, one of the days when she came home, was indulgent. So I said, Salima, what is indulgent? She said, Nani, it's a bathtub full of donuts. Now, if you wanted to teach her devious, how would you teach her devious? How? It is virtually impossible to find a word for a 3-year-old to talk to them about devious. In the same way, the Prophet has no concept of deviousness or playing both sides, nothing like that. So can you see how Allah spelt it out bit by bit by bit? It's like when we said, when Shaitan came to Prophet Adam and said, eat of the tree. I mean, he had never heard a lie in his life. He didn't know what lying was all about. So take that in that context. That is why this is in so much detail. Okay, it's spelling out. This is what these people will do. All right, now section 5 is maintaining justice. It's really, really important because justice needed to be maintained. How to maintain justice, how to protect rights. Again, it's pretty heavy, but we'll need to do that. Okay. Ayah 92 to 139. So these two ayat, 92 and 93, it's really it's talking about what happens in the battlefield. It talks about battles, fighting, all the rest of it. But see what it says. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ. And it is not worthy of a believer, أَنْ يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا خَطَأً, that they should kill a believer except by mistake. I think in the general terms, it's called friendly fire. Okay? So you don't kill another Muslim. You don't kill another human being, by the way, except by mistake, he says, except when you're in battle. Now, this is talking about battle. So you've got Muslims and the enemies, and it's saying you don't kill your own. وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا. If you killed a believer, قَتَأً, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ وَدِيَةٌ مُسْلَمَةً إِلَىٰ أَحْلِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَسَّدَّكُوا. So basically, if you did that, you have to free a believing slave and you have to give the aggrieved family blood money. You have to recompense them for their loss. Okay. Unless they give it back to you. You remember when we said يَسَّدَّكُوا. Remember we talked about it in the beginning, right? Unless they gift it back to you. They say, we don't want it because we know that you did this in error. You did it by mistake. You didn't do it intentionally. فَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمٍ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ. But if you killed someone who you were an enemy with, then even you would have to free a slave. But you don't give them recompense. So for every person you kill, even on the enemy line, you have freeing a slave. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقًا. But if you killed somebody with whom there was a treaty, فَدِيَةٌ مُسَلَّمَةً إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةِ مُؤْمِنًا. You would do the same thing. You would free a believing slave and you would give them blood money, right? So if there's a non-Muslim who had a treaty with you and you kill them, that's what would you do? And if you couldn't do that, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ, if you can't do that, فَسِيَامُ شَهْرَيْن, you will fast 2 months in a row, مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ, تَوْبَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ, and you will do tawbah to Allah, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا, and Allah is knowledgeable and wise. So even friendly fire, even if this is all stuff done by mistake, you will still recompense them. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمَّدًا But if you killed somebody intentionally, فَجَزَاهُ جَهَنَّمُ Your reward, your recompense is جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا You will just live in it forever. وَغَضَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ Allah's anger on you, وَلَعْنَ And He will draw His mercy, وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَذِيمًا Remember the word yaqtul also means you kill and kill and kill and it doesn't have any effect on you. You become like a butcher. You just, it's really, really strong here. Murder is not taken lightly. Now, I want to add just a little bit thing here. We're quite happy here and we say, you know what, this talking about battle, it's not talking about us. But you could murder a heart. You could murder a human being's thinking. You could hurt them. This all comes into the same thing. Everything is there. Sometimes when somebody says something, it cuts you apart. It murders you. So it's not very far away from them. Okay, now he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. Idha dharabtum fi sabilillah. You know what dharaba is? Dharaba is to hit somebody, right? When I say hit, I mean like really get their attention, right? So he says, idha dharaba. If you stamp on Allah's path, you know, like when you beat a track. You know, when you beat a track, if somebody walks in your garden continuously one path, they make a path through it, right? That's beating a track. So when they beat a track, فَتَبَيَّنُوا Make investigations. So in other words, when you are doing something in Allah's way, first find out what you're doing, whether it's right or not, right? Investigate. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْكَ إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا Don't, if somebody says salam to you, if they throw, alka is to throw, if they throw peace at you, don't be judgmental and say, no, he's not a believer. Because he doesn't dress like one. Remember at this time, of course I'm talking about this one. At this particular time, everybody dressed the same, right? There was no difference how you dressed. There was no red akik ring and dadi and, I don't know, abba kaba, nothing. Okay, you're smiling. There was no, everybody looked the same. Excuse me. Everybody was decently dressed. So now we see people as, you know, in Tesco, somebody with a hijab says salam and like, alaikum salam. Okay, we'll go like that. But here he's saying, if somebody throws salam at you, doesn't matter how they dress, what they are, who they are, don't make judgments. And lasta mu'mina, don't say you're not a believer. How do you know? Tabtaghuna arad al-hayat ad-dunya. You are only making those judgments because you're looking at the life of the world. Now, I'll explain in a minute. For in the Allahi maghanimu kathira, Allah has so many gains. I mean, He is rich. He can give you so much. Kadhalika kuntum min kablu, faman Allahu alaykum fatabayyanu. You know, you were like that before as well. Allah has given you a benefit of Islam. Inna Allah kana bima ta'maluna khabira. And Allah is aware of what you do. So, now let me go back to forgetting about the Muslim side. So, if somebody said salam to you and they were one of the people that you looked up to, then you would go out of your way, stop your car, hello. When they phoned you, you'd pick up the phone, all the rest of it. But if nano manas, if somebody, in Gujarati they say, somebody you think is small, a small person, called you or whatever, or said salam or whatever, then you make a judgment according to the life of the world. You think, oh, I can't say no to this guy because he is, you know, he's the most important guy in the world. So I don't know. Barack Obama called you just now. I mean, probably leave the class and run, right? But if, okay, you wouldn't. All right, you wouldn't. But if the guy delivering your parcels knocked on the door and said, can I have a 2-minute chat? You might say, oh, I can chat to you all the time. I don't know. I'm just giving daft examples. But basically, Ayah 94 is saying, you know, if somebody throws peace at you and talks to you nicely, for God's sakes, don't, just because you're getting benefit of the world from somebody else, don't stop everything for somebody else and not for this one. Because Allah gives you far more benefits. And I have to mention this to you. So Alama Majlisi, everybody has heard about him. Him and his friend had a pact. And they said, you know what? The person who dies first will come back in the dream and tell the other one what happened. He says, yeah, we'll do that. Now, many of you have heard many stories. But one about Alama Majlisi was, he was... he always used to talk to people on the streets and answer their questions. And once the Khalifa's people came to pick him up with their horses and their pomp and their glory and said, Khalifa wants to ask you a question. He said, all right, let's go. He goes into there and somebody on the street says, Alam, I have to ask you a question. But in his first thought was, he's going to be here anyway. Let me go and then I'll come back and I'll sit with him for a longer time. But a little while forward, he's thinking, Allah does not like this. He made this whole pomp and glory go back. He went back, sat on the ground, answered this guy's questions, made these people wait, made them really angry, and then got to the Khalifa. That's it, khalas, he forgot all about it. When he came to his friend in his dream, he said, you know what? All these things I wrote, everything I did, when they asked me, what did you bring from the world? And I said, all this stuff. They said, it's got your name on all of them. So he said, but... They said, we accepted one thing. There is also the fly on the ink. But they said, we accepted one thing. And that was when that day you were called to the Khalifa and you went there, you went back and you sat down and you spoke to him. So Ayah 94, that really beats that. You know, you could put a Lama Hili there and you won't forget. Okay. So, La Yastawil Qa'idun. So now it's saying, those, you know, yastawis, are they the same or not? But we'll talk about qa'idun, are those who sit, no? You say qu'ud, to sit down. Yeah? So, al-qa'id, one who sits behind. What? These are the people who didn't go to fight in Uhud. So Allah is saying, those, remember, now, this is talking about every kind of person there. Those who didn't go to fight in Uhud, min al-mu'mineen, from the mu'mineen, ulil dharari wal mujahiduna fi sabilillah. So it's not that they were injured or they were challenged in any way. And they strove fi sabilillah in the way of Allah bi amwalihim wa anfusihim. But they strove hard in the way of Allah with their property and their persons. Okay. So la yastawi, they are not equal. So those who strove in the way of Allah with their life and their stuff, their mal, they're not equal to the ones who stayed behind. That's the first part of this sentence. Then it says, فَذَلَّ اللَّهُ مُجَاهِدِينَ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ عَلَى الْقَائِدِينَ دَرَجَةً. Allah has given those who strove, who fought hard, a rank above them. Okay? وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. But for all of them, Allah has promised the best. And I'll tell you why Allah says this. So, وَفَضَلَ اللَّهُ مُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَائِدِينَ أَجْرًا أَذِيمًا. But again, he stresses, those who strove, we give them a better rank. In other words, remember we talked about those who didn't move from Makkah. Allah called them munafiqun, right? These were people in Medina who moved from Makkah to Medina, or they were the Ansar who helped, but they didn't go to Uhud. So what happened was when the ayah about the Makkans was revealed, people were telling these people, oh, you are included in there as well. We're very clear, we're very quick to be judgmental, all human beings. So Allah clarifies that, look, they're not the same as those who didn't leave Makkah. They didn't go, okay, it's okay. Their rank is lower than those who strove, but don't sit there and blame them, okay? Don't sit there and call them munafiqeen. And again he says, darajatum minhu wa maghfira, those of a higher degree. And they have maghfirah, and they have rahmah, they have protection, and they have mercy. Remember, maghfirah is not only forgiveness. Al-ghifar is a helmet that you wear to protect your head. So they have Allah's forgiveness, they have His mercy. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. They have a greater rank, but you will not call them munafiqeen. Okay? So Allah is ghafoor, He is merciful, He is forgiving and merciful. In other words, it's saying, the door of forgiveness is always open. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ. Oh my goodness. Indeed those whom the angels cause to die, ذَلِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, while they are being unjust. When you're being unjust to somebody else, you're being unjust to yourself. قَالُوا فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ. And they're asked, what is your state? قَالُوا, they say, كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They say, you know what, the reason why we're unjust is because we are weak in the earth. Well, you know, our sasu doesn't let us do this, and our chacha doesn't let us do this, and our husband doesn't let us do this, doesn't let us be good, and we make all the excuses in the world. And Allah says, قَالُوا, ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها. Was not Allah's world spacious so that you should have migrated, did hijrah? Hello, this doesn't mean you do hijrah from your homes, eh? No. It's hijrah from a state of mind. Because today you'll tell me I have to go somewhere. You're not going anywhere. Lockdown, you can't go anywhere anyway. Okay. But basically, hijrah here means state of a mind. Sometimes it talks about, to them, to one group of people, it is you can move away from your situation. But you can move away from the way you are thinking. Because if I am stuck in the same thing that I'm stuck in, I'm not going to be able to move out of it. And then he says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. Their abode is Jahannam. And وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. It is awful. It's really awful. You can't move away from thinking the way you are. إِلَّا, he said. And then there's an exception. إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. Those who are challenged mentally and physically, in men, وَالنِّسَىٰ, and women, and children, وَالْوِلْدَانِ, you know, لَا يَسْتَطِئُونَ حِيلَةً. They cannot find a way out. Hila is like a solution. وَلَا يَحْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا, and they cannot escape it. So these, they find it very difficult where they are oppressed. So I'm talking about very often men control women and they have issues. So he says for them it's difficult. But look what Allah, he says here, and I love it. فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ. Maybe Allah, and يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ. He will forgive everything. He will rub out everything for them. So if you're in a situation, or if anybody's in a situation where you find you're controlled, or you're bullied, or whatever, He will pardon you. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًا غَفُورًا. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And if you feel that you're, you know, you cannot come out of the situation, then you put yourself in the group of 98, and then 99, He will be there. But He says, it's really cool. وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you do hijrah, if you migrate from this state of mind into the way of Allah, oh my goodness. يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعًا. I love this word. Okay, I'm trying to, let me see how I can speak مُرَاغَ. مُرَاغَ comes from رَغَمَ. رَغِمَ is a land that you acquire after you struggle hard. And this is talking about, so you know, in ragham is actually earth, dust. So it's this, all the words in Arabic are connected. Raghima is when you've had a fight over something and dust rises. You know, like when you have a fight, horses fight and dust rises. So here basically it's alluding to Medina. Look, when they did hijrah, Medina, they got Medina as a city of safety, as a home for the Muslims. So he's saying, when you do hijrah, I will find you the peace. I will find you the home. And you will find kathir and wasa'a. It will be vast. You will be able to move. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُحَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ. And those who come out from that house as a muhajir towards إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ. And then death overtakes them. فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. They will find their reward waiting with Allah. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah is غَفُورًا and Rahim. It's so amazing. Really amazing. I'm going to try. I don't think I'll be able to finish this. We're on Ayah 100. We've got 5 minutes. Okay, let me just do maybe 101, because 102 is a little bit long. So I'll do 101. We'll stop there and we'll carry on. We'll finish this next week, inshallah. I know it's long drawn, but each ayah is beautiful. All right, 101. وَإِذَا ذَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now remember ذَرَبَ again. When you are pounding the earth on the earth. So, you know, you're on a journey. فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاهٌ. There is no blame on you. أَنْ تَقْصُرُوا مِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ. This is salat, qasr salah. تَقْصُرُوا, qasara, you shorten your salah. إِنْ كِفْتُمْ, if you fear, أَنْ يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And if you fear that those who cover up the truth will cause you fitna. Can you see يَفْتِنَكُمْ? They will cause you fitna. إِنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ كَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوًا مُبِينًا. And so those who cover up the truth are your open enemies. So it's also talking about battle. The next ayah, which is 102, I knew I said I would stop, but that is talking about Salatul Khawf. And you find this actually demonstrated on the day of Ashura. So if you know how to pray Salatul Khawf, this is an Ayah 102. We'll continue with Ayah 102 next week. Jazakumullah khair. I know it's a long surah. I really am sorry for it being so pedantic. But I think we learn a lot from the pedanticism. Okay. So Jazakumullah khair.